Welcome to the Whence We Came Project Podcast, an archived audio anthology of American lives, both local and legendary, as told by the Americans that lived them. The following is my conversation with Miss Tina Francis, a focused, energetic lady that is currently the principal at Jerry Whitson Elementary in Cookeville, Tennessee. A unique school for this area, with over 80% of the students being Hispanic and over 100 walkers daily. Typically, I try to focus these conversations on the who a person is rather than the what they do. For Miss Tina, the who and the what became very intertwined. A great conversation with a great lady. I hope you enjoy. Hello, Miss Tina.
Hello, Mr. John. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this. As we talked briefly about before, this is a little bit about just the book of Tina. We want to know a little bit about, you know, a lot. We want a little bit about where this all started for you. Where were you born? Your parents, what they did, that type of thing. Memories of grandparents. And then we'll just kind of take it from there.
All right. That sounds great. So where was I born? Is that where we start?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I was actually born and raised in Cookeville, Tennessee. My parents were both born in Cookeville, so we're from a long line of Cookevillians. I have two sisters, and they both live in Cookeville, so we've always lived locally. My father owned a gas station when I was growing up, and my mom was a homemaker.
Now what was your maiden name, and what was your mother's maiden name?
My father's name was Earl B. Carrington, and he owned the Spur Station here in Cookeville. And my mom's maiden name, her name was Doris Carrington Judd. Judd was her maiden name.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I grew up here. I attended Tech Campus School.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is no longer. I think now it's the Science Center.
I was going to ask, which building would that be?
It was, it's referred to. Oakley's STEM Center.
I understand.
Yeah,
yes,
that was where I went to elementary school.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandparents were both from here.
What did they do?
Well, they both passed away before I was born.
I'm sorry.
My mother and father were the classic May-December couple. My daddy was, my mama was 23 when they got married, and my daddy was 50.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So they were definitely a May-December couple. That he died when I was 12. He was in a car accident.
I'm sorry.
And so it was interesting having parents of such a different age, you
right.
know. My mom was always the disciplinarian in our home. And so she's been gone 4 years.
Yes,
she actually moved after my dad passed away, and she moved and lived in Georgia for a while. With
okay. her,
she remarried, but my older sister, lived here, and so I stayed with her and her husband.
Okay.
And their three boys, and went to Tech and graduated from Tech, and started. Actually, I got my master's right out of when I finished my degree in my bachelor's degree. I got a master's and actually was a, what do they call them? Like, I worked for the university. I was in charge of a practicum.
Okay.
And so that was my job, was to
work. Wasn't a student teacher, but I know what you're talking about.
Right.
I can't think of the
word. I can't think of the term either. Graduate assistant.
Yeah,
that's
ma'am.
What I was. Golly. I think my brain is tired. It must have been a long day. But anyway, I was a graduate assistant, and I worked in the College of Education, and I was able to observe practicum students working in their first practicum. So that was interesting. I completed my master's in a year and a half.
Wow.
Yes. They were paying for it, so I was going to get it done as quickly as possible.
Take advantage of that.
Yes, sir. I actually worked in banking for like 3 or 4 years after I finished my master's.
Really?
Well, with Tech here, we have a surplus of teachers. and especially at that time.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I had interviewed and just decided. I had worked at the bank. It was Citizens Bank at that time. I had worked there during college, and so they had an opening and they needed help, and so I hadn't gotten a teaching job, so I went to work at the bank. And it just so happened one of the directors of the bank's wife worked at the bank, and he had been a part of education, was on the board of on our school board. So he said, "Why are you working in a bank?" And I said, "Because I can't get a job." And so his name was Jim Brown, and he just kept after me to apply for jobs. And finally he called me middle of the year in December and said, "I'd like for you to go and interview with one of our principals. They have an opening. I'd like for you to go." And I was like, "Okay." And so he called me back in a few days, and he said, "You haven't called that principal."
Oh, he knew.
And I told him, I said, "You know, I've had a lot of rejection, and I really enjoy the bank, and I just don't want to go and be rejected again."
Right.
And he said, "I really think this is a good fit for you. I'd like for you to please call him." Mr. Loftus was our principal at that time, and I set up an appointment. And I remember that morning I got up and I was getting ready and I was praying, and I remember praying, "Lord, I am not going to do anything to impress this man. If this job is meant for me, you're going to have to make it happen, because
I just
felt like I didn't want to make a move unless it was what God wanted me to do." So I went in, and Mr. Loftus interviewed me, and he was like, "Okay, so when can you start? We need somebody immediately."
Oh, no.
And I said, "Well, there's two things you need to know before you offer me a job. One is I can't possibly walk away from my job without giving a two-week notice. I said, the bank has been very good to me, and that's just not right. You don't treat people like that. And I said, the second thing is, I'm pregnant, and I'm going to have a baby at the beginning of school next year."
Right.
And so it was like, he said, "I think that we can work all of this out."
Really?
And so I started in January that year. And that was in 88.
Now, when did you know that you wanted to be in education somewhere? At what point of your...
I wasn't one of those kids that grew up all the time playing teacher and wanting to be a teacher. That was not who I was.
Uh-huh.
In fact, when I was in first grade, I had to have a tutor because I could not read.
Wow.
And so I worked with a tutor all year, and I was able to go to second grade. But I said, back then they used to call us, you had your little reading groups, and it was like the Redbirds and the Bluebirds and the Blackbirds. And everybody knew that the Blackbirds could not read.
Yes, ma'am.
And so even all the way through school, I remember reading was really a struggle. And people ask now, you know, "When you were little, what did you read for pleasure?" And I said, when I was little, reading was not a pleasure. It was something that was difficult, and I never wanted, that was the last thing I would do for pleasure.
Right.
Until I was in the ninth grade, I had Mary Martin, she's from Cookeville, and she read a novel to us. And it was A Tale of Two Cities. I said, of all the books in the world to fall in love with,
right,
it was A Tale of Two Cities. And when she introduced me to that book and brought that to life for me, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is what reading is?
That's so beautiful.
Well, I mean, it changed my life. And I guess that's when I decided, you know, if it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, it was just something up until then that had just been a chore.
And isn't it amazing for all of us, or many of us, we can reach back and there has been that one or two teachers or one or two coaches, but somebody involved in the education world that really put us on a whole different path, or you know, took the scale off our eyes and allowed us to see some things that we had never seen before. I read a book a long time back. It's called Crazy Love, and the author is a minister by the name of Francis Chan. And I had gone through a surgery, and somebody gave me the book, and I'd read it like 10 years before, so I just was going through it quickly. And one line in the book said, and I don't remember it from the first time I read it, it said, "A person's greatest fear should not be failure, but rather success at things that don't matter."
Wow.
And this was just a few years ago that I read this, and it occurs to me that especially with educators, you have a job that matters so much. That's remarkable. And it's a remarkable story. That
it's a privilege that we get to have the influence over, you know, with a child, you know, because especially in my school, I'm principal at Jerry Whitson Elementary School. And, you know, we have kids that come from homes that struggle, whose parents are supportive but are having to work night and day to pay the bills and things. And so I know every day when I come to school, I can either make a child's day or I can you're going to affect people around you one way or the other.
Yes, ma'am.
And so my goal is always to make a child's day. They make my day every day.
Ma'am.
So, that's really an honor. And it's been difficult, especially, you know, with COVID. That really made it a challenge.
Sure.
But then I felt like our jobs were more important than ever. So, I've had a lot of opportunities in my career. I love change. We talked about that a minute ago. But I have teacher friends who taught kindergarten for 35 years, and that was completed them. They loved
Yes,
every minute of it. I don't think that I could have done that for 35 years. I taught kindergarten for 8 years,
okay.
And I taught second grade for 8 years, and then I had a year I taught fourth and fifth grade. And I call that the ping pong year. I was back and forth between the two grades. But then I had an opportunity to work on getting my library certification, because after what Miss Martin had shown me, that was my goal, is to share. I always tell kids who say they don't like to read, I'm like, it's not that. You just haven't met the right book yet.
Nice.
And so I always, you know, felt like that if I could share that with a child, then I would be like paying.
Well, what does a library certification do for a teacher? Does that allow you to be a librarian? Or?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
Once I got my library certification, then I, the next year, went and was a librarian at Avery Trace Middle School.
I see. Well, tell me, let's take it
step back.
So the kindergarten years were all at one school?
I taught for 17 years at Parkview Elementary.
All of those years at Parkview Elementary?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And it's a wonderful school. It is. When we were there, it was, and it's, that's what my goal is for Jerry Whitson, is, you know, the people that we work with, the job we have is hard, and it's so important. We have to become family.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So every morning I start our announcements with "Good morning, Jerry Whitson family."
Nice.
Because I want all of our teachers and our kids and our staff to know that we have to work as a family in order to accomplish the big job that we have to do.
Well, I tell you, it's funny. Our son, Dane, is 31 years old. So born in, let's see, 90. So around 95, we had moved away with my job, and we moved back. We were in Franklin, Tennessee, and we moved back. And Parkview at that time was the only school that I think had, I want to say, either pre-first or pre-K? Or
Transitional first.
That's what it was.
I bet, yes.
And actually, our son Dane went to school there his first uh-huh. year back here. And
did he have Gloria Vick? Do you remember who his teacher was? Yeah.
He absolutely did.
Yes,
it's
I remember.
It's so funny you said that. But yes.
I remember when Miss Vick did that. That was a great program.
Well, it set him, I mean, he went through elementary school and high school with the greatest of grades and graduated from Tech. And it was a wonderful year for us. And we were really afraid moving back, thinking that moving year and mm-hmm. all would be. And it was a
Some
blessing.
Kids just need that. Mm-hmm. Either academically, they need an extra
right.
time to strengthen their skills, or sometimes it's social emotional. And they just.
And he had that weird birthday, too. He had that
yes.
September 6th birthday.
Oh,
where
yeah.
He's either going to be the youngest or the oldest person in his class, just about. So.
You know, my daughter is in August, and her birthday is. At the end. And so I went through that. Do
yes,
I
ma'am.
Send her to school or do I let her stay in preschool another
right.
year? And I decided, like you did, to give them that extra year.
Yes, ma'am.
And it made all the difference for her. I said, as a parent, I've messed up a bunch, but I got that one right.
It did very well for Dan as well.
So. I'm sure for a boy it was a good decision.
Yes, ma'am.
But Miss Vick was an awesome teacher, too.
Yes. Does she still teach?
No, she's retired now.
Wow.
But I will tell her. See her and talk to her on Facebook, so I'll let her know.
His name is Dane Owens.
So, okay, cool.
That is very cool. So you were at the same school. I noticed a couple of things I want to ask you about.
Okay.
And excuse my ignorance, but you already have. Excuse my ignorance. so you, when you came to apply, you applied with a principal
mm-hmm, at Parkview.
Of the school that you were going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way it still works today? If someone wants to be a teacher, the first place they go is to the principal of a school?
Well,
I mean,
now,
coming out of Tech or whatever?
Everything is online. All the applications are online.
Okay.
So you apply online, and then the principals, you know, check all the applications, and we choose which candidates to interview. So
that's outstanding.
Yeah, it's important, I think. They've discussed, I know there's been discussion of having a panel interview the teachers and recommend, like, central office personnel, hire a pool, and then you choose from that. But I think it's so important that we, as a school family, be able to pick someone that will fit the niche that we have.
I agree.
Both needs and, you know, personality-wise,
sure.
someone that can come in and be a part of our team to make our school better. And so I really like the way that we have that flexibility.
That's outstanding. Yes, ma'am.
So
and also the second question was, you were at Parkview for how long?
17 years.
17 years. Is that unusual for teachers in Putnam County to be at one school for a long period of time or not really?
I have to tell you, when I started at Parkview,
uh-huh.
I was the newbie, okay, for 12 years. I was the newbie. So at that time, you know, I think most, at that time, teachers found their place and
right.
that became home. And I would have never imagined leaving there.
I see.
I really didn't. And this opportunity came open for me to move into a librarian job. And so that created, you know, the move, which I could have never, I mean, I would have said I would live and die at Parkview because,
yes,
it,
ma'am.
You know, it was just my home. So moving to Avery Trace, a lot of people are like, you know, middle schoolers.
Right.
But I said my hormones were going crazy and their hormones are going crazy.
That's
so
funny.
We got along great. And I was librarian for 6 years there.
Yes, ma'am.
And then we had an opening for the assistant principal's job. And I decided that that was something that I would like to pursue. In fact, it's so funny. I remember years and years and years before when I was working, actually when I got my library certification, I just considered going into administration at that point.
Yes, ma'am.
But for different reasons, it just didn't work out at that time. And so when the opportunity opened up, I thought, you know, this has always been in my heart. And so I went ahead and applied for the job and at that time, you could be working toward the assistant principal's. You could work as an assistant principal while you were working on your degree.
I see.
So I did that and got my degree, and I was there as assistant principal for 3 years.
So that's Avery Trace as well?
Uh-huh. Okay. And I loved Avery Trace. It's just a great school. I had a year in Allgood as assistant principal, and then I moved here with Mr. Furman. This is, I think, my seventh year here.
Jerry Woodson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
So I, this place, and you know, our school is just a special, I call it a hidden gem.
It truly
because,
is.
We are a small school. We're what I consider the only true neighborhood school. As you know, we have lots of kids whose parents walk them to school and
Absolutely.
Pick them up every day, rain or shine. And so that's unusual because I know, like at Prescott Elementary, they don't even allow children to walk.
Right.
Because, you know, the situation there is different. But we only have about 25 kids who ride a bus out of 315.
That is
so
remarkable.
It's so.
And some 30% that walk. That's
oh,
amazing.
Oh, yes, at least. We have at least 100 walkers.
Yes, ma'am.
And then.
And you think with the parents with them and whatever else, it's quite amazing, honestly.
It is. And as I said, rain or shine. I'm playing with the idea of a someone, Caitlin Steakley, actually. I was talking with Caitlin the other day, and she was asking about needs for our school. And she was like, well, what about coats? Do your kids need coats? And I said, well, you know, it's really good because normally, you know, we have great adopters. We have just people who love our school and are so generous. We usually have plenty of winter coats
right.
and mittens and that sort of thing. And she goes, well, what about rainy days? And I was like, I had not thought about rainy days.
Right.
And so I'm thinking we need to have a raincoat drive.
That would be
for our kids because
be
you see them. How many of them have raincoats?
I think yesterday, which was raining, just for everybody listening,
yeah.
I'm the school crossing guard at Jerry Woodson. I'm blessed to have this position here.
He's great.
Well, but yesterday there were three out of
100.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, see, I think that is...
That's a great idea.
I think it is, too. I'm going to give Caitlin credit for it because she was the one that brought it to my attention, you know. So, but our kids are so well behaved. They their parents appreciate us, and
their exuberance is amazing. Coming in the morning,
they're excited to be here.
They really, truly are, and it's just it's a tribute to I have a saying: speed of the leader, speed of the pack, and your leadership. It starts there, quite frankly.
My speed is about 105 miles an hour. So
on your slowest day.
But it's just really rewarding to come in. Like you said, there are very few kids that come in, and when they come in without a smile, we know
right.
something's going on. And so it's just a privilege to get to be the leader of this school. We have some challenges.
Sure.
Our test scores need help, and mm-hmm. we're working, teaching like our hair's on fire.
Right.
To give our kids the best education because they realize that's the ticket for them
Absolutely.
To have a better life.
Is it mostly because of the language situation?
Well, that
think,
affects. Or, I mean,
because you're 80% Hispanic here as well?
Yes, about 80-85%.
And what I've noticed that's really unusual is although the children are bilingual, getting, many of the parents are not.
It's surprising the number that do not speak English.
Yes, ma'am.
It is really surprising because some of them have been here for years.
Right.
And in fact, I've had meetings with parents and like the mom might speak Chew and the child speaks Spanish and English and the dad might speak, usually the men tend to be more, they have more English than the women.
Uh-huh.
But I've had mamas who can't even communicate, really.
I've seen that as well.
And that's so sad,
it's amazing.
Know, to think, for me to think that, you know, not being able to communicate with my own child.
And see, something else, too, that is so amazing for me is I know how often that we worked, my wife and I worked with our kids on homework and things such as that. But I can't, until I came here, I've never thought of a kindergarten, first, second, third grader, fourth grader that was having to do the translation, not only of the word, but the thought mm-hmm. of what he or she learned in class to their parent to try to get help from that parent. I mean, it's a...
Well, that is a struggle that we face, and... Fortunately, we have an after-school program
yes,
where
ma'am.
We can offer those kids homework help and, you know, other kinds, but other help as far as like extra math or reading help. But as a general rule, we try to limit homework for
sure.
our kids because they don't have the support at home.
Right.
And, you know, if they don't understand, there's no one there to help them.
Right.
And so we try, that's why we are, you know, moving as fast as possible every day just to try to get everything those kids need in during the school day.
Yes, ma'am.
So that causes some challenge.
Well, I have a question for you, too. For anybody that's listening that might be interested in going into the teaching profession, words of advice? Let's say kids that are in high school right now and just kind of thinking about what they want to do with their life and think they may want to get into education in some way.
Our high school actually offers like practicum, and they have classes at the high school where I forget what the name of the course is, but they can actually, we have students that come from the high school and work with teachers.
Really?
Uh-huh, to give them that chance. As I was saying, when I was the director of the practicums for tech, by the time they got to the interaction actually within the school building, some of them just weren't cut out for it.
I see.
And so I love Mandy Rawls at the high school offers
yes, ma'am.
A class where those preparing to teach or something, I can't remember, but... they get a little taste of it so
See,
that
that's
they
so
know.
Important.
I think so too. You know, I always feel like that teaching is not if you're going into teaching as a job,
right.
you probably shouldn't go into teaching.
That's great advice.
Because it truly needs to be a calling. Because
yes,
there are days that I see my teachers come in exhausted
mm-hmm.
And I know how much hard work they put in, and it's not a job that you do for the money.
Sure.
Right. Or the fame,
You're right.
So if it's not a calling, that would be my thing. Don't do it unless you love it.
Right.
And that's my advice for anybody. The job you do should be what you love.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if not, you're going to have to go to work every day. And if you love your job,
I agree.
You get to go to work every day.
Well put.
I would encourage, we need teachers.
Mm-hmm.
According, you know, to all the news, the demand for teachers is going up and the supply is going down.
Yes, ma'am. So I'm intrigued by the desire to be a librarian. What does the librarian do in a middle school or a high school? What are some of the tasks, and then what are some of the blessings and some of the?
It looks different in each level.
Okay.
In elementary school, you have a chance to teach kids. To me, that's where they develop the love of reading.
Mm-hmm.
For me, as a ninth grader, to become a reader was amazing.
It's almost remarkable that it was.
It really
yeah,
is.
Because usually if someone's gone that long,
yeah.
it's just not going to happen.
But in elementary school, you're introducing kids to book. They're learning to read. They're excited about reading.
Right.
And so our librarian here sees our classes every day, you know, has classes every day. The kids are scheduled in and out of the library.
Okay.
Checking
so they're
in.
Actually scheduled in.
Yes.
Great.
In middle school, I was more of a resource for teachers. I would plan lessons with them, and they would bring their kids. I insisted that they come at least once a week so their kids had an opportunity to check out books. Otherwise, they really, you know, it's not like they're all banging down the door to get in the library.
Right.
So I asked my principal, they've got to come at least once a week. And so we did that. And then at the high school level, it truly is just, you know, a resource for the high school students. I know the English teachers there work closely with the librarian with research and,
I see.
And like for their senior paper and that sort of thing.
You know, it's really sad for me anyway. You know, we're in an electronic world with Kindles and computers and whatever else. There's just something about, we have a Kindle. Our son and daughter gave my wife and I a Kindle for Christmas. We read a lot, and my wife Mary Jean uses hers much more often. I just like the feel of book, the way
there's
it smells
nothing
and feels,
like it.
And turning a page, you know, and it's kind of scary. I mean, it's our son again, Dane, collects books, gets them wherever he can,
uh-huh.
and truly feels like there may be a day where you can't really.
They're
do that
artifacts,
anymore. Yeah, honestly, so.
Oh.
That really is cool.
So I've had people ask me that. Do you think that someday libraries and physical books will be obsolete? But I think there's enough old souls like us that really, you know, just it's not the same.
Right.
It is just not the same as physically touching and becoming a part of that story. I can't connect with a screen the way I can.
That's well put. Yes,
the
ma'am.
Written page.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess it's I'm old school or something, but
so then moving from the library to the administration, what are some of the duties of an assistant principal, and what are some of the blessings, some of the pros, and some of the cons of compared to teaching in library and your rest of your career?
As an assistant principal, especially when I started in middle school, I was the discipline dog.
I see.
It was my job to take care of, you know, the discipline. I was in charge of 7th and 8th graders, which I much preferred to the younger ones, the 5th and 6th graders. But there was some of that, you know. Of course, there's teacher observations that we have to do. I was in charge of title funds at our school, and I don't know.
So just it's a lot of administrative things, honestly.
Yes, that's it.
Did you any part of you kind of miss the connection, the day-to-day connection with the kids?
Oh, well, I made it my job every single morning to be at the top of the stairs at Avery Trace.
Great.
Greeting the kids as they came in that day. And that was, it's important to build that relationship even as, or maybe even especially as an administrator, because, you know, there were situations that we faced that were really tough. And those kids had to trust me in order for me to be able to help them. And so it's so funny. A couple of years ago, I was in a new teacher training helping with something. And, when the activity was over, I was leaving, and one of our new teachers to Putnam County came out in the hall and called me, and I stopped, and she said, Miss Francis, she said, you know, I was a student at Avery Trace, and I said, yeah, I remember you. I said, but you never were in trouble. And she said, no, and she said, my family was that perfect family you would think from the outside. And she said, I remember in middle school our family went through a real tragic thing with her brother, and she said, every morning I looked forward to seeing your smile at the top of the stairs, and you always spoke to me, and it just meant so much. And I thought, well, I about cried.
Sure.
Because, you know, I never knew that meant anything to that child at all.
Right.
It was just just who I was and what I did. And so
I see it here with you, though.
Well,
I do.
It's just I love these kids. And as I said, I consider it a privilege to get to work with them every day. So it's a blessing. And it is. I feel it's my call on my life. So
I believe that as well.
I haven't told you about my family.
No, we're gonna get there. So I wrote the note here. Don't let us go anywhere without talking about family. Let's talk family.
Okay. I have two beautiful daughters. They are Ashley and Haley, and they both live in Cookeville. We are all very close to home.
Right.
Ashley is actually a teacher.
Really? Where?
She is the music director at Prescott.
Nice.
Middle school.
Yes, ma'am.
And she loves her job. She loves her kids. And I see it's such an honor to see her love her job. And especially in middle school, you know how kids are, they don't know really which way to go.
Sure.
And some children are not academically gifted.
Right.
And so they just kind of look for a place to fit in. And for those kids that maybe aren't academically gifted, but they can sing or they can play an instrument, that's their place to shine.
Absolutely.
And so I'm so proud of her for, you know, taking on that challenge. They do a musical play every year. And so it's hard work, but I see the difference that she makes for her kids.
How long has she taught?
10 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
She go to Tech as well?
No, she did not.
Okay.
She wanted to go away to school, she ended up going to ETSU,
yes,
which
ma'am.
Has a great musical program.
Yes, ma'am.
But I remember we were like, you can stay here and make money. But she got a full ride to ETSU.
Oh, great.
So she went there and loved it. So she's... I'm very proud of her. My younger daughter is actually, her major at Tech was human ecology and something. I can't remember. But she's an interior designer.
I see.
And she is such a talented artist. I don't know if you've noticed the artwork in my office, but she painted all of it.
I did, actually.
She's very, very talented. And I remember when she told me what she wanted to do in college, I was like, oh, my gosh, can you get a job doing that?
Always the practical mom.
Yeah, they are. It's like, I love you, and you're great at it, but can you make money? But she actually works for DT McCall's. She is their floor design person. She does all their purchasing. She's one of their top salesmen.
Outstanding.
Sales ladies. But anyway, so I'm very, very proud of my daughters.
Either one married or anything?
Haley is married to Stephen Crook. He's actually works for the Chamber of Commerce here in town.
Outstanding.
So, yes. They,
congratulations on
and
that.
I have two... three grand dogs, and probably that may be all I
remember. I've never heard grand
dogs. Yeah, that's. I say, are you going to let me be a grandma? And they're like, no, we had a house instead of children. So,
that's funny.
But I was married for 36 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And my husband and I went through a divorce.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I had decided that, you know, that was where my life was going to be, and I was good with that, you know. And then God brought my new husband into my life, and we got married in January.
Outstanding.
And so, yeah, I've just been super blessed,
that
you
is
know.
Great.
So, we're actually going on our honeymoon, fall break. COVID. Thank you, COVID.
Yeah, honestly.
But I'm just really blessed. I live in Allgood.
Okay.
And the boss of our house is our little dog, Mags. She's a fierce 8 pounds.
Well, now, Mags, I think, was the reason that we had to watch how we scheduled this interview, right?
Yes, because I had to go pick up not my grandchildren, but my dogs.
That is funny.
Well, she was a rescue puppy, though.
Outstanding.
So, yeah, she's the best.
Stuff. Absolutely. We have two of those ourselves. So let's talk a little bit about COVID and education. I think all of us have, you know, we read and we see on the news and all that, but I want to bring it back into Cookeville, someone that actually lived or is still living, but specifically last year. Talk a little bit about the challenges with that and what you saw. And
I think the hardest thing was our kids that were in remote classes.
Yes, ma'am.
We had missed like an entire 9 weeks.
Right.
And for kindergarten kids and first grade kids, that...
Oh, my Lord.
That is so significant.
Right.
It really is. But then when we came back last year, some of the parents, and I understand, you know, they weren't comfortable having their kids come back to school. And so they had them work, you know, from home remotely. And that's just hard.
Right.
I think kids need one-on-one human interaction with their friends, and it's hard as a teacher to, you can't replicate the experience of a classroom online.
Absolutely.
You just can't. And that's why when they decided, our school board decided this year that if you were K-2, you are mandated to be in school.
I think it, judging from what I see, it's been a great call.
I am so impressed by Mr. King. He has had some tough decisions.
Wow. I can only imagine.
And, you know, I've just been so proud. I've been friends with Mr. King a long time. And okay. So...
Is he from this area? I don't know.
He is about, not originally, okay. But okay. When I was at Avery Trace as... librarian, he was there as a teacher and then became assistant principal.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
So I've been so proud of, it's almost like a mama, but you know, I've been so proud. He's made some great decisions and some hard decisions, but I feel like our school system is better off than it has been, you know, in the past. And I know we were one of the few school districts that actually attended in person last year.
Right.
And that's thanks to our board and Mr. King. And I mean, it's what's best for kids.
I absolutely agree.
So we've had the majority of kids that were remote have come back to school.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Now, how about, do all of your students have computers?
At home, you mean?
Yes, ma'am. How did they do remote?
No, they did not. When it was decided that we would go remote, Mr. Furman, our former principal, and I, we worked. And luckily, Mr. Furman had the forethought to focus our funding on technology. So at that time, we were basically one-to-one. All the kids in Jerry Whitson have a Chromebook to use here at school.
Really?
Yes, that's pretty. We were one of the first elementary schools
right.
to be able to do that. So when they went remote, then we were able to distribute the laptops to the kids and Google Chromebooks, actually. And so they were able to access, you know, the curriculum that way.
I see.
We also had a lot who, you know, preferred paper packets. So every week we were, our teachers were preparing packets and we were here to distribute them. If you remember, so many people lost their jobs.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And so we were blessed to hook up with, what's the Nashville, in Nashville, the food bank in Nashville.
I'm not sure.
Oh, I think of it in a minute.
Okay.
Anyway, we were able to get food and box food and bring in. And so we had families that would come every week and pick up a big box of food. And we do that during the school year. We send home the backpack program. But we were able to make food boxes, and parents came and picked those up. So we worked all throughout the whole summer. Normally, it's just during the school year, but we were fortunate enough. What is the Southern, the food bank?
From, I don't remember. I don't know.
I don't either. Maybe I can remember it. But anyway, it was such a blessing for our families because they weren't all eligible for the government assistance that some got. So it was especially important for those families.
It goes back to family again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
that's impressive. Well, tell me, looking at, and I've often thought this, I haven't been in a classroom, I guess, since our daughter Denny graduated. So it would have been in the early teens, like 2010, 2011, I guess, was the last time I've even been in a classroom. That was a high school classroom. I can't even imagine what it would be like in an elementary school classroom. But you can because, A, you went to first, second, third grade, and then, B, you taught there. And now, you know, give me some let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are the same, some of the things that are different, things that are better now, things you wish that perhaps they're some of the old school ways that were, you know, we wish you could bring back or you try to do here or whatever.
I think in many ways in elementary school, it's a lot the same because you're teaching kids the basics, the foundations that they need to learn to read, you know, math. Of course, now we have Chromebooks and kids are getting extra practice online. But my feeling is, and that's what I'm really stressing to our teachers, is there are programs, online programs, to help our kids to practice. But there is no substitute for one-on-one interaction or having a group of kids at your table and working with them individually to actually, that computer, although it can, with algorithms and everything, it can adjust the levels. It's still not the same. And there's nothing to replace the teacher seeing that light go on above the kid's head, you
Absolutely.
Know. And so that I think, I don't want to rely on technology to do the job of a teacher. Because
well said.
If technology could do our jobs as well as a teacher can, then everybody would be remote learners, and we saw that wasn't successful.
Yeah, that was really difficult.
For some kids, it's great.
Sure.
But there's the majority, I feel like, need a teacher. And if nothing else, they need community.
Truly. And what really hurt my heart during the whole COVID thing was the students that were challenged, you know, either academically or by home life or whatever else, are the ones that are going to even fall perhaps further behind.
And, you know, our teachers tried as much as we could to provide the services those kids needed. Our kids in the SPED program, we provided their accommodations and their instruction. But it's just not the same.
Yes, ma'am. It's
you
not.
Know, and I think the isolation, that's been something even as a with the adults in the building, you know, that's something that we had to strive to overcome because everybody got in their own bubble.
Right.
And to me, you learn most from interaction with other people, either adults or kids, it doesn't matter. I always hated online courses.
Right.
I love the interaction with people because you learn so much just interacting.
I agree.
And, you know, it's so funny. All the skills that people in the workforce want are those soft skills.
Exactly.
You know, they want people that can be a team player. They want
Absolutely.
communicators, and you can't build that with a screen.
No, ma'am, you cannot.
So
you cannot. Very wise words. It's really funny. When you were talking about when the light goes on with a student, how the teacher smiles. I also love, in having been able to watch in my past life, watch teachers teaching in a class. I love when the student sees when the student sees that the light has gone on with the teacher is proud or whatever. You can see that fill the student. And I think that is such a cool thing as well. And that's another reason I think we're social beings as humans. That's what we are.
God created us for that.
That's exactly right. And that's what we, I think that we need to maximize that as well. So for people that happen to be listening to this or whatever, what are the things that people in the community that may not have a child at a Jerry Whitson or whatever, what are some of the things that the community can do to help you bless these children?
Oh, the list is long.
I want to hear some of it. I really want to know.
Well, one thing this year that we've really strived to do is, I feel it's important that when the child steps on our campus, our motto is, let's prove we care. Because you can say all day long, oh, I really care about you. But if you're not willing to put any action behind it, it's just a bunch of words.
It's hollow.
And so I want our kids, when they come to our building, to immediately feel special. And so we have been blessed this year. We had a couple of our adopters in another church organization, and they just came to us, and they were like, what can we do to help you?
Outstanding.
And so we had the Bend Church came and paid a professional company to come in and paint our hallways. Our building was, after the fire, it was rebuilt. It's been about 10 years.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
You know, it's everything needs attention.
Sure.
And so it meant so much to me. That was a goal that I had, that we get our whole school painted. And we're not there yet. But it was so neat the first day of school to see our kids come in, and their eyes just lit up. They were like, oh, it's like a new school.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, to me, that shows our kids how much we care about them.
Right.
That we want to provide the best school in appearance, in academics, any way that we can,
right,
to help our kids. We've had churches Washington Avenue Baptist Church is one of our adopters. They provided lunch for us. The River. I want our teachers to know how much they're appreciated, because they work hard.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's just one of the things that we've been blessed. The Methodist Church is one of our adopters. My goal is to have someone provide lunch for us every month. I think it's May, April or May, they have Teacher Appreciation Month or Week.
Right.
But I want our teachers to know they're appreciated throughout the year. So
absolutely.
We've had people offer to do that, and that's a blessing. We had a group come from Leadership Putnam,
okay,
and we've had offers to, you know, provide money to help paint some more of our building, and so there are things like that. This week and last week, one way COVID has affected us is we have teachers that get sick.
Right.
Or we have cafeteria staff who get sick, and we're just shorthanded, you know?
Ma'am.
And so Miss Kathy and I have packed snack this week. But, you know, the thing about it is some of our kids, they get a full snack It's like a big snack to take home at the end of the day.
Yes, ma'am.
And for some of them, that's the only meal that they'll have at night.
Right.
And so I was like, whatever we have to do, we're going to get this, you know, provide this snack for our kids.
Right.
Because so Miss Kathy and I have been packing snacks. Oh. We've had a few volunteers, then we can use volunteers for that. I mean, there's lots of things that any school in Putnam County would appreciate.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Volunteers. The River Church is going to paint part of the back of our building themselves for us over fall break. So the Bend also came, and I don't know if you noticed. Were you here at the end of last year?
Just the very end, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you notice the big change out front?
I did.
They came in, and it was like an anthill here. They were everywhere. They mowed our grass. They trimmed our trees. They mulched our beds for us.
Right.
And so it's just been a real blessing. And I just feel God has sent these people to us because it was things that we couldn't do on our own.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're willing to do whatever, but there are limits to our abilities, especially. So it's been a blessing.
Well, I have a question for you, too. I know there's several times that our granddaughter is five, and our grandson is 10, I believe. He acts older, but I know that from time to time they have field trips and things such as that, and the parents have to send money to the school. Is that ever an issue here?
Well, I mean, no child doesn't get to go on a field trip because
they
can't pay for it.
Okay. But that also means that could be a way that some folks in the community could
bless. Nine times out of ten, it's the teacher who steps up and pays for that, for those kids. And so, yes, like a monetary donation to go toward field trips or our
school
chorus.
We have
been very blessed with school supplies. That's something that everybody thinks about.
Right.
At Christmas, we have lots of families that contact us and would, you know, need help.
I see.
And so we have different churches that come and help us. The Rotary has helped. And so there's so many needs for schools that, we don't have a PTO.
Really?
We just don't. Our parents are either working or they have younger brothers and sisters where their moms are home, or they have language barriers.
Right.
That sort of thing. And so we don't have that opportunity to, you know, have a huge fundraiser and it bring in a lot of money. We just... You know,
I said,
PTOs raise money, but they raise money from their families.
The parents, yeah.
And, you know, as much as possible, I don't want to ask our families to have to donate money for something, because I never know if that means the difference between that family having a meal that week.
Right.
And so we really try to limit what we ask our parents to send. We try – one advantage of having a daughter who's a middle school teacher and the choir director is we get to go to that play every year.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's not something our kids would have the opportunity to do otherwise.
Right.
So that's a big field trip that we get we ask for donations from others to cover the bus. Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Her mama gets to bring her school free. And their principals always agreed to that. But,
nice.
You know, so it's just, and it's important those kids have those opportunities, because their families either don't have the means or they've never been exposed to what's available, or they're just working hard to keep food on the table. So,
yeah, this school, there's no doubt this school in this neighborhood is a very unique situation in Cookeville. There's no doubt. But again, this is I knew you would do this, that this was supposed to be about you, and we've made it about...
I can't help that, though.
I know that. That is you, actually. But I will tell you that if anybody's listening to this on the radio, if you see our children as treasure, I'd ask that you prayerfully consider helping out an elementary school or a middle school or high school somewhere. I really think it's an important thing in some way, whether it's offering your time or offering your resources or whatever else. I think it's a very, very important thing because these kids are treasure. There's no doubt. Yes, ma'am.
I totally agree. And as we were talking about our families, they are so supportive. You know, we were talking about what does the assistant principal do. Part of it is discipline.
Right.
And I can tell you, with our Hispanic families, if I have to call or if I have my translator call
yes, ma'am.
About a discipline issue, it happens once.
Great.
And that child, that parent, takes care of the situation, and they don't come back to school and act that way again. And, you know, when you have parental support like that, the teachers can teach.
Absolutely.
Because they're not having to deal with as many
right.
discipline issues. And every minute the teacher can focus on the curriculum and focus on the kids and what they need versus having to correct discipline.
That's a great point.
It makes a huge difference for the learning of not just that child, but every child in the classroom.
I had not thought of that.
And so that they are so supportive and appreciative of what we are able to help with.
Yes, ma'am.
So that being a part of that's a gift that to me.
Yes, ma'am. That's outstanding. I meant to ask you earlier, and this is a rollback, but did you go to Cookeville High School?
I did.
Okay.
Went to Cookeville High School.
Okay.
Went to, got my bachelor's and my master's and two EDSs from Tech.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and you know, that's something I want to mention. Tech has been such a great partner with our school.
Yes, ma'am.
They send practicum students, and I said we can always use extra hands. They come, and we had Awesome Eagle here last week.
Yes, ma'am.
And they brought things. I want our kids to know that Tech is in their back door.
Right.
And some of our children would never consider the possibility of college. And two of our teachers that I just am so thankful to have in our building, Miss Maria Baltazar and Miss Violetta Juan, both attended Jerry Whitson. Their parents immigrated to the United States. I think they were both born in the United States, but they lived in the Jerry Whitson neighborhood. Their parents strived that they get the best education they could. They both graduated high school, attended Tech, and then came back to Jerry Whitson to teach. And so I'm just real proud of them.
You should be.
And they're such a great example to our kids.
Yep.
You know, they truly can say, yep. I have been where you've been, and you can be where I am now. Tech came over when they were here the other day, and they're going to give me banners to put above all of our teachers' doors that were graduates.
Oh, that's great.
From TTU.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I think the current count is about 26.
Wow.
Yes, of our teachers. So I said, you know, that's important that the kids know this is something you can do.
Absolutely. Dare to dream.
Yes.
Dare to dream.
So I've been really grateful for their partnership with us.
I'll tell you something funny. I know we need to wrap up soon, but something funny as an aside. One of these podcasts, I was interviewing a couple that in their early 80s, and I asked them, I interviewed them together, and I said, when did you guys meet? And they said it was Jerry and Velma Peak, and Velma, I guess, said, well, actually, we went to school together at Jerry Whitson. Now, they're in their 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one was in fourth and one was in first or something like that. And I said, You're not going to believe it, but I'm about to talk to the principal, Jerry Whitson.
That's
which
awesome.
Is so cool. So the school's been here. It has quite a heritage. It's been here for a long time.
I think they started building it in like 1917.
Wow.
And then it just grew, and the original Jerry Whitson donated the property for the school. And then the community built the school.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It has a different feel, just where it is and how it's nestled in, you know, with the Little League baseball fields right down the street and the community houses and whatever all the way around it and whatever. It's a very different. It's more of a throwback to the way my elementary school felt in the early 60s.
Right.
There's no doubt. It kind of feels the same.
And I love that.
Me
I
too.
Love And I have people say when they come to our building, it's a happy place. Mm-hmm. It's just welcoming, and I treasure that because that's what I want our kids to feel every day.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so I appreciate that you've talked to me today.
Well, I've loved it. You're a very, very, very special lady and special leader. And the teachers you have here.
They are great.
They're amazing. They truly, truly are.
Well, I had my 60th birthday this year, and I woke up, and it was like, I'm 60, okay? So I'm way past middle age.
Maybe not.
I don't know if I want to live to 120, but anyway, what came to my mind was I've lived probably the greatest, you know, I'm past the halfway mark.
Yes, ma'am.
My time to make a difference is growing shorter every day.
Yes, ma'am.
So when I want every day, make that day count. Do something that's going to leave a legacy of learning and a love of learning, and not a legacy as in, you know, anybody remembers my name.
I know what you're
but
saying.
Just to know that I have spent my life well.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a gift to have, you know, to be able to do this. I don't want to squander a minute of it.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
That's how I try to approach each day. So.
Well, you are a gift to these kids, and you're a gift to me, and I'm honored to be your friend.
We love having you here.
I have a lot of fun out there.
Yes, you do.
I do. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. See you, folks.